Thank you for downloading the Elohim Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Lynn Eveson. For more information, please visit elohimchurch.com.
We've got an amazing speaker today. She's got so much wealth and experience in bringing God's word. She's preached around the world. She's preached across... She's preached across the country. She's preached in all environments, from platforms to tin sheds to wooden shacks. And she's traveled, and she brings an amazing heart of God. And we love her in this house because she's our pastor. And we love it when she brings the word because she always brings something which is going to speak to every single one of us. So can we welcome Pastor Lynn, please?
I don't know about you, I was waiting for the guest speaker to appear. Anyway, here she is. And God's in the house already, so that's awesome, isn't it? When God's in the house, stuff happens. Doesn't matter, really, what else is going on. When God's in the house, things happen. Because he's a happening God. And we're running with a scripture at the moment in the house, and it's in 2 Corinthians 3, and it's verse 17. Now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Or as the New Living says, freedom. In actual fact, it says in the New Living, where the spirit of the Lord is, he gives freedom. So God's in the house today by his spirit. He's here to give you freedom. The Holy Spirit always comes with a gift. He's here to set you free. Amen. And who was not here last week? It's not a test. It's not a, you know, you marked here or not. Well, you need to catch up with Mike's word. Awesome word last week, and we were exploring the fundamentals of what we believe, and we were really recognizing and realizing that we're an Easter people, we're a Pentecost people, we are Christians, and we are here to live the Christian life. It is the most amazing life ever. Live it now, don't wait until you die, because, you know, it's meant for now. The supernatural life of God in his people is to be lived now. It's amazing. It's full of joy. It's full of love. It's full of peace. It's full of grace. It's full of the word of God. It's full of the power of God. It's full of the purpose of God. It's full of the plan of God. And God is, as you might have heard, the main point. God is in his house, he's in his people. And the Christian life is Jesus coming into your life to radically transform the life that you live. Who wants to, if I was to say, who wants to live a dead, boring life? How many of you would put your hands up? Oh, I'm in the right place. Glory. We don't want to live a dead, boring life. We want to live a life alive in Christ. Every day, in every way, whatever's going on, that life is available for us, to us, with us, in us, expressed through us, and caught from us. There's something in you that the world needs to catch. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, yeah, we can receive a measure. But what God wants us to receive is everything. Everything. He wants us to receive the fullness of life, the fullness of joy, all of the power of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't look and think, oh, Lynn can't handle all that power yet. We'll just give her a bit. Certainly not. He's like, that's my girl. That's my bloke. That's my boy. I'm going to give them everything. I'm going to watch them explore it, enjoy it, learn to use it, live in it, express it, and I'm going to see the change, not only in my son and daughter, but in others who come to me through them. Who knows that once you come to Christ, it's your job to bring others?
Yeah.
It's your job to bring others. It's not your job to sit there and think, oh, sorted, saved, living a safe life. It's your job to think, this is dangerous. This is great. This is exciting. This is fun. I'm loving it. I'm getting to grips with it. I'm going for it. And when you get yourself aligned with the purpose of God, all that comes in to your life. When you receive the Spirit, you get a new nature. You know, longer Saint Miserable, the grumpy, miserable, moaning, groaning, complaining person that you once were. You no longer live under oppression. You live over the circumstances. You get a new nature, the nature of Christ. You get new desires. The things of the world, John Wesley wrote, the things of the world grow strangely dim. And that's awesome. That we can lose sight of what the world thinks is power. We can lose sight of what the world thinks is contentment. We can lose sight of what the world thinks is living their life. Because we set our sights on something different. The purpose of God. So you get a new nature, new desires, and new power. Yeah. Who wants to live a powerless life? No fun, is it? We get new power. And I want to tell you that there's something that's impossible. There's one thing that is impossible for Christians. And that is to live life outside of the power of the Holy Spirit. It's just not possible. You're not a Christian if you're living life outside of the power of the Holy Spirit. You're just a person who sees something in Jesus and thinks it's great. If you're living life outside of the power of the Holy Spirit, you're not a Christian. That might blow your mind, but anyway, I don't think it will, not in here anyway. And there's a massive difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. A non-Christian can appreciate and admire the life of Jesus, they can think it's good, but they can't experience and enjoy his power. That is part of the privilege of being a son and daughter. That's part of the privilege of being a son and heir. We heard about that this morning, it's down here, part of the privilege of being a son and heir. And that is what comes with the inheritance. We inherit the power of Jesus to do greater things. Now that does blow your mind when you think about it. Most of us would sit there thinking, I'd like to do what Jesus does. When he says, you're called to do greater things. If only we could get a grip of that. If only we could get a hold of it. If only we could live out the largeness of it, the freedom of it, the liberty of it, the power of it. The excitement comes when you do it. It's no good getting excited about it. The excitement comes as we do it, live it, take a hold of it, enjoy it, experience the power of Jesus. Not just seeing his life and his power, but living his life and taking a hold of that life and experiencing the same power. We don't have a greater power than Jesus. We have the same power, that same resurrected power, that same resurrection power that brought Jesus from the dead. It's the same power, but Jesus said, together you're going to do greater things. That's you, that's me, that's us, that's what we are here for. Now, knowing it and doing it are two separate things. Seeing it and getting a hold of it are two different things. We need to believe it. Acts 1 and verse 8. Just want to read it because these are the words of Jesus. I want you to turn it to it because I want you to see the words of Jesus. We've been looking this week in the morning prayer meetings at Jesus' declaration that his words are spirit and life. And so if you just get a hold of Jesus' word, you'll know the power of the Spirit and the life of Jesus. And if you apply his word, then you'll live in the Spirit and you'll live the life. And it's easy to do if you've got a Bible where the words are in red, then you know they're Jesus' words. But you need to do more than just have read them. Reading them's a good start, but you need to be living out what Jesus said. And Jesus said this to his followers. Who's a follower?
Yeah.
Glory. Who's a disciple?
Yeah.
It's a bit more than following. A disciple lives, learns, and looses the life of Jesus. Acts 1 verse 8 says this, you know it. But you, say me.
Me.
That's me. Say that's me.
That's me.
Jesus is talking to me. Jesus is talking to you. That's good news. But you shall receive power. Does anybody have the Bible that says you might get it?
No.
Does anybody have the one that says you might get a little bit?
No.
Oh, I'm sure some people read that Bible. I don't know who wrote that particular one, but it's not the gospel. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So if you're never called any further than Boston or Ibstock or Desford or Thornton or Barton in the Beans or wherever we all live, if you're never called any further than that, you still have the same power.
Yeah.
To use where you are.
Yeah.
You might be called to go into all the world. All these teddies are going into all the world.
Yeah.
We've got missionary teddies in the house.
Yeah.
They were knit by the guys at YWAM who've got such a heart for mission. And they're going to get sent out to children who need to know comfort.
Yeah.
And those children also need to know the comfort of the comforter, the power of God. And we, wherever we are sent, carry the same power. So Smith Wigglesworth, actually, we've been talking about him a lot, but Smith Wigglesworth didn't carry any more power than you.
That's right.
He just didn't. Because that's to say that the Holy Spirit doesn't have enough power for you and me, because he's given it to everybody else except you and me. It's the same power that brought Jesus from the dead.
Amen.
It's the same as, not similar to, alios, exactly the same. Another one, just like Jesus, just like, identical to, the same as, which is why Christ could confidently say, you'll do greater things than me. Because when you're together, you're all of you releasing that same power. All of you. He comes in power and he empowers. He's the power source of heaven and he utterly, totally, completely changes people.
Yes. Yes.
He changes situations, he changes circumstances. But he also uses situations and circumstances to continue that good work of changing people. God wants to change you.
Yeah.
He doesn't want you to be the same. Doesn't want you here next week sitting on your blessed assurance looking at me like this. He wants you next week coming in and saying, I got a hold of that word. I spoke truth. I witnessed to somebody. I saw God work. I saw the life of Christ released. I've seen a change in myself.
Amen.
That's living the life of Christ. We haven't quite got it, have we yet? I wish. I'm going to stand you all up here one week. In fact, we're going to have the video camera here one week.
Yes.
And then I'll replay it the week after. And you'll go, is that really me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do I look like that?
Yeah.
That can't be me looking so bored, fed up, tired, disengaged and disinterested. Can it? Can it?
It won't be that week.
It won't be that week. You're right. Glory to God. That's one way. Yeah, come on. Let's get the video camera out here. Let's get some, what do we call them? Home truths.
Yes.
Let's get into the power and the glory of God.
Yeah.
No, this is reality. This is the life of Christ, the joy of the Lord, the strength of God, the power to change us when we get a grip of what God is saying. It's good. So the Holy Spirit came on those first believers in...
power!
Oh yeah, it was powerful. Tongues of fire, visible. A great rushing wind, audible. It changed the disciples, it changes us, it touched everyone, and it missed no one.
Amen.
He touched everyone and he missed no one. Everyone was touched and everyone was changed. And when God has touched your life, when God has changed you, you have the choice to keep walking in that power, walking in that purpose, walking in that plan, walking in the prosperity of living out the life of God. Whether it looks all hunky-dory at the moment or not, God's out working something great. And to say that the Holy Spirit can't change you is to say that the Holy Spirit doesn't have the power, and he does. So once we come to Christ, once we know Jesus, once we receive all of the power of the Holy Spirit, all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we may minister in one gift more strongly than another, but we do receive the whole package.
Amen.
It is possible for you to open your mouth and witness to somebody.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And every time you do, you walk in an overcoming victory.
Yeah.
We walk in the testimony of what God has done, and that really ticks the devil off. So you're already overcoming him. He's under here. Don't let him keep you silent. But at a basic level, once we receive the power of God, we can no longer say, I can't help it. We can no longer say, it's just the way I am. No, it's the way you used to be. It's the way you were. But there came a moment in time when you encountered the power of God and he changed you.
Yes.
From the inside out.
Right.
He changed our default setting to victory.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
He changed our default setting to life. So we moved from defeat to victory. We moved from death to life. And if we can move from those, we can move from anything.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, good. Got some nods and smiles. That's awesome. And to say that the Holy Spirit can't work in your life and change you makes you bigger than God. Ouch.
Yeah.
Well, I've always been like this. And so, that doesn't trump God. But I've always had a negative attitude. Well, you need to die to that, because God doesn't have a negative attitude in his whole of eternity. There's not one negative attitude. There just isn't. You know, there won't be one depressed person in heaven. Depression's a curse. There's not, there just isn't depression in the kingdom. That's the old self, and this is God saying, live the new self. God is almighty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dear. God is almighty.
Yes.
Jesus is alive.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is power filled.
Yes.
And we are also power filled. We are also alive in the life of Christ. We also live to serve the Almighty One who is working through us. So that must make that which he is working through us something mighty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
Oh, we're nearly getting there. The Holy Spirit is glad to indwell you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want you to know. The Holy Spirit isn't whinging to God saying, why did you put me in that one? Can I make an appointment to see you, God? Because I'm fed up of this one. It just isn't. It's just not. He's going, God, I'm working. God, we're doing it. Jesus, they're changing. God, they're moving forward. God, they're overcoming. God, they're yours. I'm with them. You're with them. Jesus is with them. We are for them. They're advancing. They're living in victory. They're overcoming. They're getting a grip of the kingdom today. Oh, the Holy Spirit's so excited because you're getting a grip of the kingdom today.
Come on, preach it.
He's glad to indwell you. He loves you. Yeah. He likes to spend time with you. He loves to connect with you. He loves to see you move in a new dynamic. And there's a great cloud of witnesses all up there already with Jesus going, "Rah!
Yes.
Oh. Look at them! Boston's going to be changed. Ibstock's going to be changed. Desford's going to be changed. The people of God are on the move. The Holy Spirit is at work.
Yeah.
Oh, anything can happen.
Amen.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
Anything can happen. Oh, that's so exciting. It's good news. I've got some more good news. You can't live the Christian life without him. And that is good news. It's not negative. Because it means with him you can.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not unobtainable. It's not unattainable. It's there, available for every single one of us. Whatever you face today, it's not too big for God.
Amen.
Whatever you face today, it's not too much for the blood. Whatever you face today, there's no power lacking in you to get up, get on, get over it. Get over yourself. Get over yourself. You can live the Christian life. You are God empowered. God has filled you. He's qualified you. When you're tempted, tested, tried, and troubled, here's what I want you to do. I've got a 3-point plan.
Oh.
Very rare for me, but anyway, God works in threes, and as we were hearing last week, he also works in 144,000s, but I'm not going to ask you to write that many down. That could be a challenge. Have you got a pen? Or an iPen? Or an iPencil? Or an iPad? Any one of those will do. When you're tempted, tested, tried, and troubled, number one, invite the Holy Spirit to empower you. Ask him in to the situation. Because he's just longing to work on your behalf.
Yeah.
Invite the Holy Spirit to fill and empower you. Number one. Number two. It's so simple and basic. I'm really sorry. I'd like to have found something that you could have jumped through hoops and done something difficult with, but it's just so simple.
Awesome.
Two, believe that Jesus is with you.
Yes.
Simply believe it.
Yeah.
He said it. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. The enemy wants you to feel forsaken. Number three, believe that God is for you. Believe that God is for you. Because he said that he is. And he doesn't lie. He's for you. It's as simple as that. And when we're going through trials, sometimes it's to temper us. Sometimes it's to train us. But it's always to give a testimony.
Yes.
Through us. Of God at work. It's as simple as inviting the Holy Spirit to fill and empower you, believing that Jesus is with you, and believing that God is for you. And you will move in his power and purpose, knowing that the plan that he's got for your future is possible in his presence. And he is present with you. I want to look at two situations. The first one is in Luke 8. Rustle those pages. Don't be reading your emails. I've got a suspicious mind. Luke 8 and verse 50. In the New King James Version, because it's still good. It's still the Word of God. And I love it. So, Jesus here is at work. A woman had just touched him, and Jesus perceived that power had gone out of him. It's good news, it's for women as well as men. God, thank you, Jesus. And then the next thing, the ruler of the synagogue, somebody came rushing from his house to say that his daughter had died. This is Jesus' response. Not a good situation, really, is it? Can't get much worse. He'd gone to ask Jesus for help and healing. Somebody rushes in and says, don't bother him now, she's dead. Couldn't be much worse. This is what Jesus said. Luke 8 and verse 50. But when Jesus heard this, he said, do not be afraid, only believe. Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. Whatever the negative report, Jesus got the positive response. And he's ready to work it. Do not be afraid, only believe. Believe that Jesus is with you. Only believe, Jesus said. He made it simple too, didn't he? Only believe. Fear not, only believe, and something changed. Is what you're facing any more than that? Fear not, only believe. And Mark 9, 23. So I just want you to read this for yourself, because this is what you need today. Another impossible situation. A man whose son, who from childhood has suffered fits and violent fits, which have even thrown him into the fire, so he must be badly burned as well. We've seen children in Uganda who've fallen into the fire, and it's a terrible thing. So this young man was really suffering. His father was suffering. His father came full of hope, asked the disciples to get on and get in and heal this boy, and it didn't happen. So maybe disappointment had set in. Don't be disappointed. God's got an appointed time. He's not the disappointer. He's not the withholder. He's the one full of hope. He's the great giver. And so this scenario was another challenging one. And Jesus says in verse 23, Mark 9, verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Amen. And we all know that scripture, don't we? As Pastor Shane said earlier, we've got it on mugs and cards and magnets and car bumpers and stickers. And if it was something more than that, we'd be doing it. It's no good having it on your car bumper. You need it in your heart. It needs to be the first thought in your head. If I can believe, nothing's impossible. Power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing's impossible. But this is what the man had said before that. He was telling Jesus that often the spirit that was in this boy had thrown him both into the fire and in the water to destroy him. But the man said this to Jesus, but if you can do anything. Jesus said, if you will believe. Jesus took those same words. The man had said, if you can do anything. Jesus took his words and said, if you. In actual fact, this means he's saying to them, what do you mean if I can do anything? It's if you can believe. If you can believe. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. You're sitting on that chair today because you believe it's not going to collapse underneath you. You can move in faith. If you can believe, the situation is changed. He helps the man's unbelief. Isn't that amazing? Holy Spirit helps us our unbelief. The Holy Spirit helps us out of our unbelief. It doesn't leave us in it. It brings us out of it. And the situation is changed. It's only and always about Jesus, because he's always willing. He's always able. And he's always ready. But if you can believe, something is going to change. Anything. Anything. Anything is possible. You can get to live in Boston eventually. Come on, only believe. Resurrection, deliverance, healing, strengthening, overcoming, victory, healing. Resurrection.
Yeah, come on.
Life is possible.
Yeah.
Invite the Holy Spirit in. Believe that Jesus is with you. Believe that God is for you.
Yes.
Believe his word. Have we got any believers in the house?
Yes.
Glory. Do you know what? I love preaching. I love the fact that the church started with a sermon. Church growth exploded from a sermon. The preaching of the word is the most powerful thing, not because of the preacher per se, but because of the word. Because of the word. The word never fails. It goes forth and it's accomplishing that for which it was sent. Today, God wants us to believe for the impossible.
Amen.
And he's working it in you.
Yeah.
He's working it in you. That situation is changing. I'm not saying it's going to change. I'm declaring it is changing. There's change in the house. God's in the house. The Spirit is in the house. He changes situations, even dire situations. Through sermons. Church growth exploded. Just exploded after that first sermon. Paul knew how to preach for hours. Hours and hours and hours, from like tea time to midnight. Somebody falls out of a third floor window, dies, he runs down, picks him up. Liv, get up, you haven't heard the end of the sermon yet. Paul wanted, I can't even pronounce his name, so I wrote it down here so I could remember how to pronounce it. It's you teach us. You teach us. I don't know how to pronounce it. But his name means fortunate, and he was. He not only heard the beginning of the sermon, he heard the end, so God was at work in his life. And his name was inviting Paul to, you teach us. So, come on. Why did Paul preach? Why did Paul teach? Because he knew the word of God changed things.
Yes.
He knew the truth set people
free.
Glory. I love listening to the word. And I love living the word. The word changed the disciples and it changes us. Are you ready to be changed today? Glory. Because church is what happens. Life is what breaks forth when the word is preached. That's why we still have preaching today. That's why the whole of the Christian life is founded on the word. On preaching the word. Preaching the truth. Preaching Jesus. I believe the word. I believe the Holy Spirit empowers preachers to bring the word in an accessible way, an available way, and that signs and wonders follow the preaching of the word. Today, still, I believe the Holy Spirit wrote the scriptures and he empowers preachers and teachers through the scriptures to move in a dynamic that releases faith into people. I believe the Holy Spirit works by opening the eyes of our understanding, that open our deaf ears to hear the truth of the word, and I believe he works in people. Yeah. If you're a person, you qualify today. Yeah. He works in people. He works from within and he works from without. The vision of this church has ever been to seek God, meet with God and make Jesus known. To live in the revival power of the Holy Spirit and to outwork the Christian life, living in the truth of the gospel of Christ, and nothing else will do. Many things change, many things will change, many things can change, but one thing will never change, that this book will be opened and this word will be loosed, this truth will be released, this will bring people to Christ, this will release people from bondage into freedom, and this is what we exist for. As people, as individuals, we are called to live the Christian life. See our lives change. Who's got situations they want to see change today? Who knows that something in them needs to change today? Oh, sorry. One, two, both hands. We want to see God work today, don't we? God is at work. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom from sin today. Freedom from bondage today. Freedom from sickness today. Freedom from old habits today. Freedom from helplessness and hopelessness. Freedom because Holy Spirit has come to help and Jesus is our hope. Freedom, liberty and life. Freedom from wrong choices. Oh, who's made wrong choices here? Man alive. Our lives are peppered with wrong choices, aren't they? Praise God we've got a Redeemer. Yeah. Praise God that he says, it's your past, it's under the blood, I don't see anymore, why do you keep thinking about it? Yeah. Freedom from wrong choices. Freedom from wrong thinking. Freedom from failure. God didn't make a single failure. That's to say God is a failure. God doesn't make failures. We trip up, fall over. We need picking up. We need dusting down. We need to avail ourselves the power of the cross, the power of the blood, the word of our testimony constantly, continually. We need to be inviting the Holy Spirit in. We need to be believing that Jesus is with us. We need to believe that God is for us. We need to know that truth and move in freedom and be changed. Yeah. Amen. Something that Mike said last week, I wrote it down in big letters. Be changed. Be changed. Romans 8 is all about being changed. And if you go home and read it, my heart is encouraged that today you're going to. Because it's going to bless you. Because it's going to lead you into the truth. It's going to set you free. It's going to open the eyes of your understanding. It's going to work in your life. Be changed. You know, God says be. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be changed. Be bold. Be courageous. Oh, I feel courage rising. Be strong. Believe. It It's a B word. Because God wants to do something different. He doesn't do the same boring thing. I mean, he lives in eternity. Can you imagine doing the same boring thing over and over again? Pastor Shane said he's doing something new. God's excited about the new things. God's excited about the new you. God's excited about the things that you are going to see released in your life as you believe. Good on you, Darren. God is at work today. And we are here to see our lives changed. But believe you me, if God changes your life, you better get out there and be a change agent. Don't sit on it. Don't squash it.
Share it.
Share it. Move in it. Live it. Love it. Enjoy it. Be empowered. Encouraged. Be energized. And get out there and do it. Are you ready? Cool. I'm going to just drop Tony right in it now, because he's Mr. Be Bold today. Come here. There was a reason that... there you go, you see. It's a word of your testimony. I want you to speak out the things that have happened on the last two Pentecosts that you have... Okay, you speak it out.
Well, the last two Pentecosts. The first one, that's 2 years ago. In fact, a week before Pentecost came, I'd been to the hospital for an x-ray on my heels, and they told me I'd got arthritis in it, in both of them. I came here, I could hardly walk that day, and I came up for healing, and Shane and Lynn anointed my feet. And I went home jumping about. And the next day, and the next day, I was up on my roof repairing the tiles. And I never felt pain. And this last Pentecost, I'd got vertigo. I'd had it for weeks and I couldn't cure it. I came here, I'd pray for it, healed again. Thank you, Lord.
So what were you saying that you wanted God to do for you this Pentecost? It doesn't only work once a year, guys.
I have.
Yeah. It is a key time. And according to your faith.
I've already asked the Lord for healing on... I've got a small cancer in my prostate, which I've had an operation. And... I'm just waiting for the results when I go for the MIR test. So I'm being positive and saying that he's healed it already. Amen.
So we're going to believe this situation is going to be changed, because you are being bold and being courageous and being the person that God's called you to be. And the word of your testimony is going forth. And it tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. What we speak out is so powerful. Guard your tongue. What you speak over yourself will come to pass. You can bless yourself, you can curse yourself. Be aware of the word of your testimony, because that is just what you speak. You're testifying truth, because you're a Christian. So when you speak, be aware of your testimony. You speak and say, I can't do that, you won't be able to do it. You've already made a self-fulfilling prophecy. Tony would never have stood here and spoke like that years ago, but God's done that change, and now he's being bold.
Actually, when the specialist told me that I've got small cancer, I immediately said to myself, I haven't got it, because I've got the Lord with me.
Believe that God is for you. Jesus is present with you, and invite the Holy Spirit to fill you. So we're going to do some body ministry today. Is that okay?
Yeah.
That's cool. We're going to pray with Tony, because so he's going to stay here, because I'm lonely. I want some company. And two things Tony spoke out: arthritis and vertigo. And the third one, cancer. Three things, sorry. But two things you've testified to your healing of, and the third one you've testified to your assurance of healing of. So I just want to invite you today, if you've got arthritis, if vertigo attacks you, if cancer is something you want to see defeated, I want you to come and to stand at the front with us, and we're going to see God work in those areas. So you better be quick. So, glory.